Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Again, I want to say that only about 2% of the counties in America are seeing any significant increase in cases right. at all. And all across the country, more than half of our states are either stable in their number of new cases or they're actually seeing new cases declining, despite the fact that literally we're doing more than 500,000 tests a day, thanks to that public-private partnership that President Trump forged with commercial laboratories.
Doctor is in. Dr. Randy Tobler with us this morning. And Randy, COVID. There's a second wave coming.
I thought that clip you said when they were talking about it spreading, you know, slowly in precincts was about the blue flu that's spreading. I wasn't sure. There's a lot of similarities, you know. The blue flu was unleashed by a bunch of lying, deceitful media, just like a lying, deceitful China unleashed the virus. And if you catch it, and you know, civilians can catch the blue flu too, and they have a milder case, but the best thing we can do is when the police get it so badly that they're not around, and I can understand because they are vulnerable. There's no Kevlar against stereotyping and generalization, you know, Mark, that when we get it, when civilians get it, we need to shelter down and wear masks because when the anarchists come for us, maybe they'll think we're one of them.
Well, there you go. I mean, yeah, thank you. Yeah.
This is crazy, Mark.
To be sure,
I don't know. COVID has sort of gone into the background, and it looks as though Governor Parson has done a pretty good job. I heard your interview with him yesterday. He's done a good job without a lot of radar. None of us had radar, especially elected officials at the beginning of this thing, with, you know, not being the first comer to shut down the state, but also not being the first to open up. And I think it's been a really reasonably well-calibrated response here. And I have to give credit to my friend who... You might know it. He's an OBGYN. I'm just saying. Dr. Randall Williams, who's the head of the Department of Health and Senior Services.
Well, you know, like the governor said yesterday, they have that Missouri COVID-19 dashboard. You can just type that into any browser you use.
Right.
And you can see real time the number of cases they've had that is tested positive. You can look at the number of hospitalizations. And you can look at the number of deaths. Now, I know the deaths are a lagging indicator, but the hospitalizations have remained pretty steady or dropped, even in big cities like St. Louis and St. Louis County.
Right, right. And you know, the governor had a series of about 14 or 15 calls, weekly calls with CEOs from around the state through the auspices of the Missouri Hospital Association. And every week we were getting updates. We were getting asked to help submit data to this dashboard that's been developing. And so it's been a great collaboration. And I think you know, he showed some great leadership during this very, very difficult event. I mean, there's no doubt about it, Mark. This is such a strange, strange bird, this virus. The way it is, it's so chameleon. It seems to affect some people unpredictably, young, healthy people in a very small way, but you never know. You know, it's like a rattlesnake. You know, is there one lurking behind the bush that looks like my, you know, like my little multiflora? Or is that, you know, or is it rattling because there's a kitty cat there? You never know.
Yes. Yeah.
And on
no.
the other hand, you know, so many of the tragic outcomes have been, of course, in our nursing homes. And I just was talking to a nursing home administrator the other day, and, you know, an emerging problem, and I'm sure you've covered it and we've talked about it too, it's been on the news, is the real carnage on the cognitive the support to, the efforts to support cognitive support for Alzheimer's and dementia patients in nursing homes. They need that social stimulation. And it's a catch-22, because if we let them have all kind of visitors and people come in, and, you know, my wife used to bring the kids in with the dogs and visit with them. Well, none of that's there. And we're seeing, we're losing the fight against dementia in a quicker way because of all the isolation that they've had. So it's really, really been a tough time.
Oh, I'm sure it is. And what are your thoughts on the hydroxychloroquine, Randy? Because the FDA came out and changed its opinion on hydroxychloroquine. They don't think... They didn't find any evidence that it works. It may make things worse and all this stuff. And, you know, I had a doctor on, Dr. Steve Crawford from Jefferson County, on Friday. And I don't know if you heard the interview or not, but it was stunning when he tells me that in his particular nursing facility down there, Festus Manor, he had a 100% success rate for people that had COVID in that age group when he used hydroxy earlier than the FDA recommendation. When he first noticed their blood oxygen level dropping, he started administering hydroxychloroquine. He had 100% success rate. How can that be ignored by people at the FDA?
Mark, I think this has been a real example of science done badly, just like some public policy has been done badly. And I'm not saying that the people that have done it aren't in good faith doing it, whether it's policy or science. And whether it's those that are supporting hydroxychloroquine or those that aren't, those that are supporting early shutdowns and are those that aren't, we don't have, no one's taken the time. Well, there are those kind of studies still ongoing and underway. But early on, the studies, I think, were tilted on hydroxychloroquine to make it fail. When you take people that are ill and chronically with multiple conditions, you know, already threatened with illness and fragile, and you give them a terrible virus, whether it's influenza or this virus, which seems to kill 4 to 5 times as many people as the flu, you know, you're setting yourself up for failure to show any significant impact of, I don't care what antibiotic or viral antiviral you're using. And so at least in that setting, I think we can all agree that it's probably not going to be helpful and in some cases may be harmful. But that's not the point. The point is to study it like Dr. Crawford and others from around the nation have been doing. That's where innovation comes, is from people that admit that, yeah, we don't have the studies on this, but my anecdotal evidence, which is rising, I'm quoting Dr. Crawford's interview that I was not able to hear you do, is like, hey, I haven't seen any problems. I have several colleagues I'm networking with in the same condition. We're not seeing problems. Hey, let's do this cautiously. Let's monitor it closely. Let's make sure patients know that this could be harmful to them more than helpful. And we're all adults in the room. And with that kind of information, dear patient, what do you want to do? Meanwhile, there should be good ongoing studies in exactly the setting that you described, Mark, and there are. Those data just aren't in yet. And I'm not sure that those studies are being done really, really well anyway, because it takes a long time to set up a really well-done study. And, I mean, we're only 3 months into this thing. So I don't know if we're ever going to have a great idea. I know that it's biologically plausible the stuff works. I know if I had COVID, I'd probably want to take hydroxychloroquine, and I know I'll probably lose my license for saying that.
Well, no.
That's where I stand.
Seriously. I know you're that's tongue-in-cheek, right? I mean, because Dr. Crawford...
No, it's tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, there are academics out there that... They won't do anything until there's been 5 randomized controlled studies that say that something works. And I mean, you know, again, we're adults here. We do things all the time as new medical technologies, new medical devices are being developed and sometimes being revised. And we tell patients, look, this is a new treatment, but, you know, I think it's working. I'm not the earliest adopter. I'm not going to wait for all of the evidence to be in. I think it could help you. I'm not certain. It could hurt you. Here's the risk. What do you want to do? Some say yes, some say no. It's called informed consent. And I think with that in our back pocket, physicians and researchers for that matter and patients should go forward hand in hand and get some good work done and make sure you document everything that's done. I hope Dr. Crawford has really documented the exact circumstances and the response curve and the underlying conditions and so forth, so that that data can be then all amalgamated into a good set of data.
He admitted in the interview that he didn't have time to give half of them a placebo and the other half hydroxychloroquine because he's convinced he would have killed them by not treating them the way he did. I mean, he's convinced that it's the hydroxy that saved their lives. And I'm fascinated by this whole concept. And he by the way, and I'm running over time here, Randy, but he reads this differently, the FDA thing. He read it, the statement they put out the other day is saying that he could still use it as a physician in an off-label use if he thought that was the best treatment for his patient.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I think we all fear the FDA or the authorities, the Board of Healing Arts here in the state, or other authorities, or maybe our professional certifying organizations. We all live in fear that the art of medicine will be taken away by the lawyers and the legal eagles, and yes, the media, who know nothing about that nuanced art of medicine, where the patient and the doctor actually have a conversation one to one, and they decide what may be best for the patient.
Yes,
so let's pray that stays around.
Great point, my friend Randy. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Enjoyed it. Take care.
You bet. Dr. Randy Tobler there. You listen to him every Saturday, 6 to 8, right here on 971 FM Talk. At Randy Tobler, MD, if you want to follow him on Twitter. 314-241-9797. A few phone calls holding, wanting to talk about the police incident in Atlanta, whether the officer there was overcharged, what the ramifications are of that, and other moves being made at the political level on how people police. We'll get to all of that coming up.
97.1 FM Talk on demand audio.